Money FM 89.3, the best of the breakfast huddle.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. It is time now for a Washington Report. Yes, the time where we turn our attention to headlines coming out of the United States. So a couple things we're talking about. The potential dynamics that we can expect from U.S. President Joe Biden and the newly appointed U.K. Prime Minister Liz Truss. New York as well, declaring a state of emergency over polio, and the possibility of how the U.S. can help Europe with regard to the energy crisis. Well, on the line with some analysis is Steve Elkin, Senior Advisor, McLarty Associates. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Elliot. How are you?
Very good, sir. How about yourself? Very good to hear from you.
Yes, not too bad. Just getting back into the swing of things.
Yeah, I know you were on holiday recently. Let's start off with the UK, where they've got a new Prime Minister, Liz Truss. So in terms of dynamics between him and the US President Joe Biden, what are people expecting here?
Well, I mean, as Winston Churchill said, you know, we have a special relationship between the US and the UK, and, you know, never changes. And you see the closeness in the relationship. Is immediately Joe Biden said he will be there for the funeral of the Queen, even before he was formally invited, you know, because that is the closeness of the relationship. Look, I mean, look, the UK, of course, is having terrible economic challenges right now, which led in part to, you know, the removal of Boris Johnson by his own party. And Liz Truss is going to inherit all of those problems. I think the one unique thing, more so from an American perspective, is how is she going to handle the border with Ireland when it comes to Brexit? Because that is something very important to the United States. You know, the Good Friday Accords, yeah, making sure there's that, you know, free movement of goods. But how do you do that with Brexit? And if a hard border goes there, that is going to cause a lot of political issues in the United States.
Correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't President Biden have Irish roots?
Of course, he does, as do a lot of Americans.
Yeah, yeah, so that's going to be interesting.
As do a lot. So yeah, that's the question, right? If there's a political issue in Ireland, that is a political issue in the United States.
Right, right.
So, of course, and the UK keeps punting in a way on this question, as they do with a lot of the Brexit issues. And so it's something that's going to have to get addressed eventually.
Mm. I mean, he is saying the right things with regard to the UK, as in President Joe Biden. Is he considered pro-British or not so pro-British where economics is concerned?
Well, like every American president is, you know, maybe not George Washington, of course, you know, but every American president is pro-British.
Right, right.
The Queen met 13 of the last 14 U.S. presidents. She has, you know, no world leader, of course, has that type of track record with the United States. So, no, I mean, but that doesn't mean that there's not real challenges with Brexit. The U.S. and the U.K. need to negotiate a free trade agreement because of the exit from the EU. Again, I mean, the U.S. politically is incredibly invested in the Good Friday Agreement, which brought peace, you know, between Ireland and Northern Ireland. And if there's a break in the foundation of that because of Brexit and how it's implemented by Prime Minister Trump, you know, that would be an issue.
There's also the other issue of, you know, what kind of stance Ms. Truss is going to take with regard to China as well, because of the relationship between the U.S. and China.
Yeah, although she, you know, that one, and, you know, with her government seems to have a pretty hard line. I mean, I don't think there's any real concern that the U.K. would have a different issue towards China or towards its support for Ukraine with the invasion by Russia as well. So the U.S. seems to be aligned with the U.K. on Ukraine, on China from a foreign policy perspective. But it's the economics where the real challenges are going to be for the new prime minister.
Yeah. Okay. U.S. President Joe Biden seems to be holding back on a decision to scrap any Trump-era tariffs on China imports. What is the problem here? Why is it taking so long to come to some kind of a decision? Or is there worry it could actually hurt U.S. companies?
Well, this is a battle between, let's say, you could say, Treasury versus trade. And now the tariffs are there because China has engaged and continues to engage in unlawful trade practices against companies, not just U.S. companies, but companies from all over the world, but certainly U.S. companies. There's, you know, the Chinese, the U.S. government found under the Trump administration, they do not protect intellectual property. The Chinese forced technology transfers from a U.S. company to a Chinese company. The Chinese engage in cyber theft against U.S. companies and steal IT secrets and business secrets. And so because of that, administration put tariffs on China to try and get them to change their behavior. The Chinese have not changed their behavior. So the what has changed is that we now have terrible inflation in the United States. And so the economic officials are saying, let's get rid of these tariffs. Yeah. It hasn't done any good in changing China's behavior. And it's hurting our economy because it's increasing inflation. But the trade representative is saying, if this is our leverage against China, they have still are engaging in unlawful practices, and we need to keep the pressure on through these tariffs. And so that is the debate that's happening. And look, every day President Biden doesn't decide, he's making a decision to keep the tariffs on. So the decision right now has been keep the tariffs on because that gives us the most leverage on China's unlawful trade practices. And so it's not making a decision, it's making a decision.
Right, right. Steve, President Biden made an election year visit to the Republican part of Ohio last week for a groundbreaking of a semiconductor plant. Let's talk a little bit about the agenda. And, you know, as a bit of a report card, was it a successful trip?
Well, I mean, of course, if this is being done in conjunction with the midterm elections coming up in less than a couple months. So we'll know the success of it or not a couple months from now. The Ohio is there is an open Senate race between, and this is a seat that is now held by the Republicans, but the incumbent, who is much more of an establishment Republican, Rob Portman, is not running for re-election. The Republicans have nominated, as Joe Biden would call them, a MAGA Republican, J.D. Vance, who's, you know, trying to replicate Trump in his policies and in his language. And the Democrats think they have a shot here to get this Senate seat back. And it is highlighting the benefits of, you know, the legislation passed bipartisan under President Biden to bring manufacturing and semiconductors back to the U.S. So yeah, look, this is good. It's from a Biden perspective, it's good policy and it's good politics. And when you can combine both in an election state, then of course you go there.
I'm on the line this morning with Steve Okun, Senior Advisor, McLaughlin Associates. We're taking a look at some headlines out of the United States. And Steve, this is an odd one. The governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, has declared a state of emergency over polio. I have not heard that virus name in a long time. Apparently, there's evidence that it's spreading across the state. What can you tell us here?
Yeah, you and I both, right? No one's heard it.
The war was over.
It was. And there's been some complacency, of course, because now people aren't getting as vaccinated as much as they should. Mm-hmm. And so that's opening, you know, the window a bit for polio to come back. And so you've now had, I mean, we're in the dozens, not hundreds, but dozens of tests where polio has been found. And this is an amazing thing that's come out of COVID in a way, is that you test wastewater for all of these, you know, viruses, because you can get it much earlier there in terms of testing the knowledge that this disease is spreading. And that's what they picked up in the wastewater testing, was polio, and concerned enough to put in a state of emergency. And that gives the government, you know, much more flexibility in terms of getting people immunized, more different types of people can give shots. So let's hope that because of this state of emergency, we don't have an emergency, and that people also start getting vaccinated, especially children. It really is aimed at those, you know, under five.
I guess it kind of does work, you know, this early state of emergency type of things, because it seemed to have controlled the monkeypox situation from, I don't know, was it weeks or months ago, especially on the back of COVID, like you were talking about.
Well, when you say there's an emergency, you get people's attention.
Yeah,
like we're
yeah.
talking about it,
yeah,
right? And then
yeah.
people go, oh, wait, you know what? My kid's not vaccinated. I thought this disease was gone. I better go get him back.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And it opens up the ability for people to get shots from not just from doctors, but from all across the state. So let's hope this works.
Steve, just a final point, and it is also on the topic of emergencies. But this time, European Union ministers have asked the Commission to come up with emergency liquidity measures to help strain energy markets, of course, in the EU area. Can the U.S. come into play here? Can they help Europe with their gas crisis?
I mean, only on the margins. I mean, I think that's why it's going to be And this is, you know, this is playing into what Putin's game plan was, was keep this going. You know, we're in month seven and, you know, keep the invasion and the pressure up and use gas as a political weapon and let it get to winter. And then all of a sudden he's going to think that the EU and the U.S. are going to change in terms of their sanctions. And so it's a political question much more than an economic question. Will democracies have their people make sacrifices for those in Ukraine and for geopolitical reasons that they don't see on their doorsteps? And so it's a lot of it is going to be how much of a leader can President Biden be in keeping this coalition together that the U.S. and NATO have been so strong on.
The real test is coming in winter. And definitely we'll continue to talk about that as we approach it. Steve Okun, Senior Advisor, McElhaty Associates, on the line with me. Steve, as always, I appreciate your time. Take care. Have a great day. Yeah.
You too, Elliot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.